beseeching him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord,
who made heaven and earth.
I said I would confess my transgressions unto the Lord.
And you forgave the iniquity of our sin.
I was glad when they said unto me, and ate bread to the full? For you have brought us out into this wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger. Then the Lord said to Moses, Behold, I am about to rain bread from heaven for you, and the people shall go out and gather a day's portion every day, that I may test them, whether they will walk in my law or not. On the sixth day, when they prepare what they bring in, it will be twice as much as they gather daily. So Moses and Aaron said to all the people of Israel, At evening you shall know that it was the Lord who brought you out of the land of Egypt. And in the morning you shall see the glory of the Lord, because he has heard your grumbling against the Lord. For what are we that you grumble against us? And Moses said, When the Lord gives you in the evening meat to eat, and in the morning bread to the full, because the Lord has heard your grumbling that you grumble against him, what are we? Your grumbling is not against us, but against the Lord. Then Moses said to Aaron, Say to the whole congregation of the people of Israel, Come near before the Lord, for he has heard your grumbling. And as soon as Aaron spoke to the whole congregation of the people of Israel, they looked toward the wilderness, and behold, the glory of the Lord appeared in a cloud. And the Lord said to Moses, I have heard the grumbling of the people of Israel. Say to them, At twilight you shall eat meat, and in the morning you shall be filled with bread. Then you shall know that I am the Lord your God. In the evening, quail came up and covered the camp, and in the morning, dew lay around the camp. And when the dew had gone up, there was on the face of the wilderness a fine flake-like thing, fine as frost on the ground. When the people of Israel saw it, they said to one another, What is it? For they did not know what it was. And Moses said to them, It is the bread that the Lord has given you to eat. This is what the Lord has commanded. Gather of it, each one of you, as much as he can eat. You shall each take an omer, according to the number of persons that each of you has in his tent. And the people of Israel did so. They gathered, some more, some less. But when they measured it with an omer, whoever gathered much had nothing left over, and whoever gathered little had no lack. Each of them gathered as much as he could eat. And Moses said to them, Let no one leave any of it over till the morning. But they did not listen to Moses. Some left part of it till the morning, and it bred worms and stank. And Moses was angry with them. Morning by morning they gathered, each as much as he could eat. But when the sun grew hot, it melted. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
For it is written that Abraham had two sons, one by a slave woman, and one by a free woman. But the son of the slave was born according to the flesh, while the son of the free woman was born through promise. Now this may be interpreted allegorically. These women are two covenants. One is from Mount Sinai, bearing children for slavery. She is Hagar. Now Hagar is Mount Sinai in Arabia. She corresponds to the present Jerusalem, for she is in slavery with her children. But the Jerusalem above is free, and she is our mother. For it is written, "Rejoice, O barren one who does not hear. Break forth and cry aloud, you who are not in labor. For the children of the desolate one will be more than those of the one who has a husband. Now you brothers, like Isaac, are children of promise. But just as at that time, he who was born according to the flesh persecuted him who was born according to the Spirit, so also it is now. But what does the Scripture say? Cast out the slave woman and her son, for the son of the slave woman shall not inherit with the son of the free woman. So, brothers, we are not children of the slave, but of the free woman." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Left by those who had eaten.
perceiving then that they were about to come and take him by force to make him king, Jesus withdrew again from the mountain by himself. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ.
Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with us all.
Amen.
From the sixth chapter of St. John's Gospel, in which the Gospel for this Sunday appears, the 24th through the 26th, the 51st, and the 55th through the 58th verses. So when the crowd saw that Jesus was not there nor his disciples, they themselves got into boats and went to Capernaum seeking Jesus. When they found him on the other side of the sea, they said to him, "Rabbi, when did you come here?" Jesus answered them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, you are seeking me not because you saw signs, but because you ate your fill of the loaves. Do not labor for the food that perishes, but for the food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. And the bread that I will give for the life of the world is my flesh. For my flesh is true food, and my blood is true drink. Whoever feeds on my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me, and I in him. As the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so whoever feeds on me will live because of me. This is the bread that came down from heaven, not like the bread the fathers ate and died. Whoever feeds on this bread will live forever." The Gospel for this fourth Sunday in Lent, Mid-Lent Sunday, is St. John's account of the feeding of the 5,000. This miracle is in fact the one miracle recorded by all four gospel writers. But what's unique to St. John's record of this miracle is that he not only records the fact, he also provides us with our Lord's own interpretation of this miracle. The story of the feeding of the 5,000 is just the beginning of the sixth chapter of St. John's Gospel. The rest of the chapter is largely given over to the sermon which Jesus later preached in the synagogue at Capernaum. And it is in that sermon that the Lord Jesus himself answers our question, "What does this mean?" The bare facts of the miracle are, of course, very familiar. Though we need to remember that they're not just bare facts, but facts which are rich in meaning. We know the facts. A large crowd had gathered following Jesus, who asks his disciples where they're going to get food to feed all these people. The apostle Andrew tells Jesus that a boy in the crowd has 5 loaves and 2 fish and then asks, "But what are they among so many?" Jesus answers, "Have the people sit down." And then he takes the loaves and when he had given thanks, distributes them, and so also with the fish. St. John tells us that Jesus gave thanks before distributing the loaves and fish. And here we need to know that the word John uses to tell us that Jesus gave thanks is a Greek word which in the early Christian church became one of the names for the Holy Sacrament, the Holy Eucharist. Eucharist means thanksgiving. And so this word for thanksgiving brings to mind the Holy Eucharist, the Holy Thanksgiving, the Holy Supper of the Lord. John also tells us that this miracle took place when the Passover feast was near. The Passover, in which the Passover lambs were slaughtered and eaten. The Passover lambs which foreshadowed Christ, the true Lamb of God. The Passover meal, which foreshadowed that new meal in which we truly feed on Christ, the true Lamb of God. So all of these things come into view as we hear St. John's record of the feeding of the 5,000. We, of course, see in this miracle the Savior's boundless compassion for the dying world. We see his compassion for hungry people. Jesus knows that you and I need bread. The words which Jesus spoke in reply to the devil's temptation to turn stones into bread are undoubtedly true. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Man shall not live by bread alone, but human beings nonetheless do in fact need bread, need food, in order to live. The Lord Jesus uses our inescapable need for food which perishes as a way of pointing to deeper needs, which the food of earth, good as it is, gift of God as it is, can never satisfy. And that's why, in preaching in the synagogue at Capernaum, Jesus says, "Do not labor for the food which perishes, but for the food which endures to eternal life." And then goes on to say, "I am the living bread that came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. And the bread that I will give for the life of the world is my flesh." Jesus is himself the bread of life. He is the living bread come down from heaven. And how fitting it is that he who is the bread of life was born in Bethlehem, a town whose name means house of bread. In the Hebrew language, Beth means house, and lechem means bread. In this, too, we see how wonderfully the Lord God arranged everything in his wonderful plan for our salvation. As we have observed, St. John's account of the feeding of the 5,000 itself has overtones which point to the sacrament. And in his synagogue sermon interpreting that miracle, the Lord Jesus is in fact pointing to the sacrament he would institute on the night when he was betrayed. having said that he is the living bread come down from heaven, Jesus goes on to say this: "For my flesh is truly food, and my blood is truly drink. And because that is so, through the Lord Jesus' mighty power and boundless compassion, the consecrated bread and the body of Christ are one, the consecrated wine and the blood of Christ are one, God and man are one, heaven and earth are one." And it is this communion of heaven and earth, of God and man, that is in fact the great theme of St. John's Gospel, as he writes in that wonderful prologue to his Gospel, "And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, full of grace and truth." And in the Holy Sacrament, the Lord Jesus continues to dwell among us with his body and his blood, with the fullness of his grace and truth. And because that is so, this house of God is like the stable in Bethlehem. The altar is like the manger, and the hallowed bread and cup are like the swaddling clothes in which those lowly shepherds found the child Jesus, the Lord and Maker of heaven and earth. In the sacrament of the altar, Christ is there for us, for you, for me, for all us poor mortal sinners who have been baptized into his name, and to come to this altar with penitent and trusting hearts. Though all four gospel writers tell of this miracle, the feeding of the 5,000 happened only once. But the miracle of the Holy Sacrament takes place 10,000 times 10,000. Whenever the flock of Christ gathers with its shepherds, who, being commanded by Christ, speak not their own words but his, over the bread, over the cup, making of this supper Christ's supper, the supper of him who is himself, the living bread come down from heaven to give life to the world, and who promises, "Whoever eats of this bread shall live forever." And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.